Good morning. It was June 18, 1815, the Battle of Waterloo. The French, under the command of Napoleon, were fighting the Allied forces of the British, Dutch, and Germans under the command of Wellington. The people of England depended on a system of signals to find out how the battle was going. One of these signals was on the tower of Winchester Cathedral. It was late in a foggy afternoon that the signal flashed, "Wellington defeated." At that moment, a fog bank obscured the message. The news of defeat quickly spread throughout the city. The whole countryside was sad and gloomy when they heard the news that their country had lost the war. Suddenly, the fog lifted, and the remainder of the message could be read. The message had four words, not two. The complete message was, "Wellington defeated the enemy." It took only a few minutes for the good news to spread. Sorrow was turned into joy. Defeat was turned into victory. So it was when Jesus was laid in the tomb. Hope had died in the hearts of Jesus' family, friends, disciples, and believers. After the crucifixion, the fog of disappointment and misunderstanding crept in on the friends of Jesus. You see, they had read only part of the message. Christ defeated was all that they knew. But then, on the third day, the fog of disappointment and misunderstanding lifted, and the world received the complete message, Jesus Christ defeated death. Paul wrote, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." 1 Corinthians 15:16-19. From our text in Matthew 28:1-10, we will examine two important statements that we need to remember. And that is, "Fear not, Jesus is risen," and "Come and see the empty tomb." The angel says, "Fear not, Jesus is risen. Do not be afraid." There are three fears relieved by the empty tomb. First, we should not fear life, this life, life in the here and now. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Life above the ordinary, life above the common, life at its best. The good life that we all seek is available in Christ. Paul tells us how this is accomplished in Galatians 3:26-27. "We're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, or have been clothed with Christ. Indeed, for life to have any genuine meaning, it must have Christ in it, clothed with Christ." When a storm or fire threatens an oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico, rig workers scramble into the bullet-shaped vehicle and strap themselves into the seats. When the entry port is shut, the vehicle is released down a chute and projected away from the rig. The capsule then bobs in the sea until the rescuers come to pick it up. The rig still may topple, but the welfare of the workers is guaranteed because they are in or clothed within the rescue device. Secondly, we should not fear death. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said." 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14 has Paul saying this, "Brethren, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or those who are dead, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." When Pepsi took their product to China, along with the slogan, "Come alive with the Pepsi generation," things didn't go well because when you translated this into Chinese, it read, "Pepsi will bring your ancestors back from the dead." The advertising campaign was canceled. Even Pepsi could not live up to this claim. The resurrection from the dead is possible, but not by Pepsi, only by being in Jesus Christ. Did you notice how these women and disciples left the tomb? They left with awe, joy, and excitement. What a way to leave a cemetery. We don't usually leave a grave with joy and excitement, do we? But on this day, Christ is risen, and because he lives, we will live also. Listen to Paul from Romans 6:3-5. "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, now listen, we are also certainly to be in the likeness of his resurrection. And now, from 1 Corinthians 15, 55-57, Paul says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we don't have to fear our future destiny. Remember what Paul says in Romans 8. There is now no condemnation for those who are where? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Are we in Christ? Are we in the rescue vehicle? If so, there's nothing to fear. There's no condemnation. Salvation is ours. We are forgiven, heaven-bound people. The second angelic message was, come and see. The angel said, he's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Christianity has plenty of evidence of the power of God. Come and see. Open your eyes, friends. It was Luke who tells us that after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Acts 1, verse 3. Proof number 1, the empty tomb. The Bible teaches that after professional executioners crucified Jesus, his corpse was wrapped in strips of linen cloth and placed in a solid rock tomb. A large stone, estimated to weigh perhaps 2 tons, was then rolled in front of the tomb. After this boulder was in place, soldiers was assigned to secure the tomb. Scripture tells us that the guard put a tamper-proof official seal on the stone. Anyone who happened to make it past the soldiers would then have to break this seal, thus incurring the wrath of the Roman law. In spite of all these precautions, the stone, the soldiers, the seal, the tomb was found empty that morning. When the first people arrived to peer in, they saw only angels, the blood-stained burial wrappings, and a folded napkin as if Jesus had materialized out of the wrappings, the sealed tomb, and passed the guards. Christianity rises or falls on the empty grave. It is the one silent and infallible witness. Even the best of critics cannot explain away the resurrection. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then where's his body? Why didn't the Jewish leaders just produce the body, and all these claims would have been silenced, and Jesus would take his place as just another good man, another religious leader? You see, leaders of every other religion have died and stayed dead. Their bones are decaying today. But Jesus claimed he would rise from the dead on the third day. And he did. I have the power to lay my life down, said Jesus, and to take it up again in 3 days. The empty tomb validates his claim of being the Son of God. Have faith, come and see. Another proof is the multiple witnesses. Luke records in Acts chapter 1, after his suffering he showed himself to these men. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Perhaps the most outstanding proof that Jesus rose from the dead is that more than 500 eyewitnesses saw him at once, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. Several people saw him on more than one occasion, some alone, some with large groups, sometimes at night, sometimes during the day. Paul writes, "For what I received I pass on to you, as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, then he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at once." 1 Corinthians 15, 3-6. In his first gospel sermon, Peter said, "God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact." Interesting, isn't it, that Peter preaches this sermon right in the heart of Jerusalem, in the very city where Jesus was crucified and buried? People knew the tomb was empty, and that Jesus had appeared to hundreds. It was verifiable, irrefutable. Friends, the resurrection isn't just about Easter eggs, parties, and family gatherings. The resurrection is about the current joy and future hope that we have in Christ. It's about the promise of life after life, because he lives. You can become a child of God by faith in him, being clothed with him in New Testament baptism, immersion in water for the forgiveness of all your past sins, and you too will be raised to walk in a new life in Christ. where there is now no condemnation. If there's any way that we can help you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.